official clock here in the front of the podium is what I'd be looking at. I'd like to welcome everybody here to our meeting. We have an overflow crowd for a variety of reasons this morning. Again, we'd like to announce that the hearing for Marlon Cleaver is tomorrow at 1:30 in this room here, I would assume. So that will be the official hearing.
Grievance
hearing. And there is an agenda item on the agenda later today concerning Marlon, and I know a number of you are here for that. We will have a sign-up sheet for that so that if people want to come up and make comments to the board, that will be done at that time if it's concerning Marlon's continued employment here. So with that, we'll get back, call the meeting to order. And the Open Meetings Laws Act is listed on the wall behind the media. Attendance by observation. We have five in attendance, so we do have a quorum with Chairman Adams and Matt Bauman absent. We expect Matt to join us here after a bit. The first item is we have what we call a consent agenda, where we deal with a number of items all at once. There appears to be eight items on the agenda. I will read those. The approving the general agenda, approving the minutes of the last meeting, December 13th, approving of all claims through December 15th in the amount of $505,625.72, approve and place on file all correspondence, approve reappointing Lisa Wiegand to the Planning and Zoning Commission for a four-year term, approve naming Acting Highway Superintendent Galen Engel as Floodplain Administrator, approve permit number 875 for Terry Acton to bore an underground water line at the east of 23 Rockford Township, and approve a quote from Enamel Plumbing in the amount of $7,410 for a new boiler in the house portion of the sheriff's office.
Mr. Chairman,
any member choose to remove any of those items?
I move that we approve as presented.
Okay, if there's none need to be removed, we have a motion to approve by Barnard, second by Groenwald. Any further discussion? Okay, please vote. 5-0, the consent agenda is approved. The next item would be comments from the public and requests for future agenda items, and these would be comments on any items not on the agenda. So is there any that qualifies into that area?
Mr. Chairman,
yes, Lisa.
If I could.
Certainly, okay. Lisa. Lisa Wiggins of P&Z.
For the record, Lisa Wiegand for Planning and Zoning this morning. Good morning. With the recent activities, obviously, with the Planning and Zoning part of department, it has raised a little concerns for our commission. You know, our office, the Planning and Zoning part of it, is a little bit busier this time of the year just because, first of all, the end-of-the-year applications, farmers are completed with the farming, and purchases are made at the end of the year, you know, getting prepped for the next year. And also being affected by that this year is the real estate changes in the tax laws that could be affecting when you purchase things in 2011 compared to 2010. I did talk with Rex on Monday. The commission's concerns, also Judy Leibel is here for the commission, but we need to continue. You know, we have to continue within those 30 days period of time. Once an application comes in, you know, it needs to be addressed. Some of those have been addressed, but there's others. Particular individual circumstances that need to have further recommendation and so forth coming from a zoning administrator. And so we need someone that's, you know, has the knowledge and can speak on behalf of the county and know our regulations and so forth. Our commission is not in the position to make those day-to-day, you know, decisions. We don't have the expertise that Marlon had for us. And so just know that there are some situations there that we need to address and to continue on. There's never been any concern with what kind of relationship that we had in this current situation with Marlon. He's always done a very professional job for us. And so that one-on-one connection with once those zoning regs or once the zoning permit comes on, and then measuring and working with them on a road situation is most important to us. So that is our concerns.
Thank you very much.
So,
I think
you
made your point, and we're well aware. Thank you. Okay, any others? Again, let's not get into the Marlin realm here. That's an agenda item a little bit later. All right, thank you very much for your cooperation on that. First item on the agenda, Galen Engel, Assistant Highway Superintendent, report on the general operations of the department. Galen?
Okay, all I have is general operations of the Highway Department this morning. The grading crew is currently working north of 3 Logan, doing maintenance work around a bridge. The asphalt crew is currently crack sealing on the Odell Blacktop, and the bridge crew is currently crack sealing on the Odell Blacktop. The bridge crew is working on the Odell shop, installing the restroom and a break room in the building. And that's all I have this morning.
Okay, any questions for Galen? I think we had a pretty thorough committee meeting on Monday, and I guess covered most of them. I don't have my notes right in front of me, but do you remember any of those items that we covered on that Monday meeting?
Well, basically, we discussed the
Marston Bridge in some detail.
Marston Bridge and the putting restrooms in, like Claytonia and Odell. And
why don't you update everybody on those in a little bit more detail?
I've talked with the mayor of Claytonia about hooking into the sewer line with them, and at this present time there is no sewer that runs behind in the alley that we can connect to, so it runs in the middle of Oak Street, and the problem that we're running into is the sewer is 20 foot deep, so there is going to be a pretty substantial cost for the city to run that hook into the sewer and run it to the alley behind the county barn. They're meeting. They met last night. They're supposed to get back with me today to let me know who's going to share the cost responsibility on that. Originally, they said that they would foot the cost on that, but when they found out it was estimated to be $3,000 to $3,500 for them to run that sewer back there so we could tie in, the mayor thought he better take it to before the city council. So that's where it sits at, on that barn. So far, I haven't had time to check in on the Philly barn project. So.
Okay. Any questions for Galen?
Appreciate you taking care of that, Galen. Thank you very much.
Okay. Max Maines for... Oh, he's not here either. We're not batting real good today. That was on the agenda, the auditor's report. We'll eventually have that.
Well, he's going to reschedule probably for the next meeting.
Next meeting. Okay, Jim Spangler for the quarterly report of the Visitors Committee. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you.
We got your crowd this morning.
I know. I haven't even had a chance to take my coat off here. But
well, take it off.
Yeah.
It's like school board, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you. How you doing?
Okay, just real briefly, what I've been up to this quarter. Attended the Nebraska Travel Conference up in Lincoln. Gave the welcome at the Nebraska Governor's Pheasant Hunt, and then did the barbecue for them. Welcomed two Kincaid bus tours and a singles and agriculture group to Gage County, as well as the Nebraska-Texas Longhorn Association. Met with Bill Willett about hosting the Springer Spaniel Field Trials in Gage County. And I want to make note on that. That will bring about 100 different bird hunters to the county, and it's looking like a 90% chance we're going to be able to land that. That'll be the end of November of 2011, so that'll be real good for Gage County. And then we hosted the Centec meeting at the Kensington and the Byway 136 meeting out at the Homestead. Just wanted to tell you in review the lodging tax for last fiscal year, or for 08-09, was $87,815. For 09-10, it was $96,284. We had seven tour buses that, at least that I was aware of, that visited in 2010, and 11 other groups of 20 or less. and visitor improvement funds were given to Beatrice Bullets, Gage County Historical Society, Friends of the Gage County Courthouse, and the Rice Lodge and Conference Center. And already for 2011, I'm proud to say that we have already five tour buses that are booked for coming here. And as I mentioned, the field trials in November. So I think we're well on our way to hopefully even improving on the number of buses. The challenge is to get them to come here for several days and spend the night. And that's something that I'll continue to work on. In front of you, as far as the financials, what's labeled on top, June of 2010, that kind of gives you a year end for last fiscal year, which shows that we had a net profit of $4,304.21 that was carried over to this fiscal year then. And then on the sheet that shows the lodging tax for this fiscal year, you can see already that each of the 3 months of this fiscal year were above last year, which is great news as well. So any questions for me before we move on to the other things?
I guess just how do you explain continued flow of tax motel revenue in light of a really weak economy?
I'd say two things played into it this year. One, it definitely helped that the Koch nitrogen plant shut down, you know, and had a lot of workers came in and filled in all the motels. And then I think just the concept of a staycation with the tight economy, people aren't as apt to go to California or Florida or somewhere far off. They're kind of staying close to home, and so I think we're getting a lot of people from Kansas City, Omaha, and those areas that are just coming in and staying in Beatrice.
And just quickly, the main activities that draw people to town?
Homestead National Monument of America is definitely the big draw, and then from there, they do a very good job out there of fanning people off to races,
baseball.
Exactly. Yes, baseball, everything that you've named. The tour buses that are coming, we've had several that have gone down to the Welsh Center in Wymore and the Old West Trails Center in Odell, and so we're happy that they're going to other places besides just Beatrice as well.
I think sometimes we forget how important family tourism is. The races and the softball and the baseball and the basketball tournament that the chamber put together.
We're hosting one February 26th of this coming year for that very reason, because that's the slow time of year, and that's when you need to have people come into town. Yes, Ron?
Jim, of the five tours that your buses planned for 2010, have they give you any indication what on their agenda for those?
Kind of a variety, but I'd say if there was an underlying theme, most of them go out to the homestead. A lot of them go out to Cedar Creek Pottery east of town here. Yesterday's Lady here in town. They like to take tour of like Radigan Schottler.
Bakery.
The bakery, Beatrice Bakery. Thank you for reminding of that. That's been a big one. And then several are going down to Wymore and Odell, as I spoke of.
Any instant, like in Dempster's and things of that nature with the windmills and stuff that's going on there?
You know, I mentioned that. I haven't had any takers. I'm always mentioning, you know, the beautiful church architecture we have in town and the downtown buildings. And they at least aren't going through me, but I see Lorene here. Some may very well go through her, and she does a good job of giving tours downtown as well, so...
Well, I think we're going to talk about it in a few minutes, and I know the chairman of Friends of the Courthouse was going to be here at 9:15, and I told her to be here earlier. But when we get the Carnegie building done, it's going to be a huge thing with the whole new development of Charles Park and with the building. And as I drive by and I look at those windows on the east, and I think of how beautiful that's going to be when that is totally done. And the city and Friends have just done an absolutely fantastic job. But it's fun for me on race nights. if you drive by our motels out here, you see the trailers with cars on them and with all the trailers of the people that come to town for our racing, which is a big thing, and I think we probably take for granted.
I think you're right, but it is a huge...
And my obsessive personality, of course, I was in the Historical Society Museum last night. We've got an old Beatrice brochure in there. We need to get out of there.
Okay. All right.
Still advertising Grumpy's.
All right. Thanks.
Well, it is a historical.
Yeah.
right genre, anyway. Okay. Any other questions or comments for Jim? We're really encouraged, I think, by increased activity in the tourism realm, and certainly supportive of that, as you well know. So,
thank you
very much.
What's that?
Let's formally place that report on file. Is there a motion to do so? Moved by Byers. Second by Barnard. Is that? No?
Please.
Who did it? Please. Holler at me, please. Don't just mumble. Holler at me.
Yeah.
All right. Second by Please. Any discussion? All right. Please vote. 5-0. Now 6-0. Mr. Bauman is here, and I guess minutes will note when he came in. I forgot to verbally mention it, but Bauman is here for that vote, so that was a 6-0, one absent vote. Okay, Jim, you have a couple other things relative to your report or your activities here. You want to go through?
That's correct. We could go ahead and start off with Harriet Van Engen, if she'd like to come forward. We are having on our Convention and Visitors Bureau Advisory Board to fill a vacancy. Myron Dorn there will be joining the county board, so we're looking for someone up in the North County to take his place, and he had recommended Harriet, and our board recommends her as well for your approval, but I'll have her in her own words say a little bit about herself.
Good morning, Harriet.
Good
Welcome.
Morning.
Tell us a little about yourself, please.
Well, I've been a resident of Gage County for 40-plus years. My husband and I have a farming operation near Adams. I also do some part-time work outside of the home. I am an assistant postmaster at Adams. I've been involved in probably most all civic organizations over the years at one time or another. A couple of those I either started or was a charter member of the Community Foundation, which has now been in existence about 12 years. And when I moved to Adams, I saw a need for a rescue squad. We had none. We used the services of a town 7 miles away. So I initiated that, and with the help of a lot of other people, we got that going, and it's strong yet today. I guess in our spare time, my husband and I enjoy traveling. There isn't a lot of that. Every year it seems to be less, but that's probably what I can tell you about myself.
Okay, great. Again, welcome. It's glad to see somebody, I guess, agree to be appointed, or at least consider for appointment. And sounds like you're quite proactive. Any board members have questions, comments?
No, just comments. I've known Ms. Van Engen for many years and her family, and they have always been at the forefront of everything in Adams and in Northeast Gage County. So I just want to commend her and certainly support her for, and thank her for willing to volunteer for this position.
Thank you.
Okay. Shirley, your neck of the woods.
Yeah, I worked with her on the census, so I know she's willing to dive in and do some hard work, because that wasn't easy for any of us.
Well, I
welcome her. She'll do a good job.
Anyone else? Certainly glad to see strong representation from that area. We know you're between Lincoln and Beatrice, and Beatrice has to be very aware of working with the Adams community, and I think you'll be a very good representative for us, and certainly would encourage that we approve this nomination. So, is there a motion to approve?
Make a motion we approve.
Moved by Grunewald.
Second.
Second by Bauman. Discussion? Please vote. Congratulations. You're in the gang of whatever you're into now. So it is a 6-0 vote to approve. Welcome. Most of what you get to do is fun, unlike some of the things we have to tangle with. You will really enjoy the Visitors Committee.
All
it's
right.
A great group.
I am looking forward to it.
Thanks, Harriet.
Can we skip over Friends first to see if Janet gets to do the other two?
We will do a, we like to do check presentations for funds that are given from the Visitors Improvement Fund, and we have a check presentation to the Rice Lodge and Conference Center. I know Larry Stanishek is here. Is John, was he able to come? Okay, John, there you are. And I'll have Myron Dorn representing the CVB board. And Dave, do you want to represent the county board?
Or? Sure. This is my second to last rodeo.
I'll yeah.
Do a photo op. Glad you made it.
I know. It needs to come here. The judge always pushes it back once the judge goes away.
We're always behind.
You're right.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Life isn't over. I mean, that's just it.
Thank you.
Well, she said 9:15. Said she'd be here early.
What did the Rice Lodge do?
I don't know.
Yes. Yes, the amount of that was $13,500 to the Rice Lodge and Conference Center.
Give us a little background on the Rice Lodge and Conference Center.
Just, if you don't mind saying a few words, Larry, just on the Rice Lodge and Conference Center, how it's coming along. And
okay. John would probably be a better person than that. He's been doing a lot of the heavy-duty work, literally.
Get away.
But
I guess we're sort of to the point where we're getting ready to let all the bids for the mechanical. We have completely, you know, gutted the building. We're to the point where we have all the rooms designated and reframed. Most of the rooms have been purchased by people in the community. We sort of went the same way that the Wilbur Hotel did, where they sold rooms for X amount of dollars. And the community's really stepped up and done well for that. Probably the only surprise that we got caught with is our architect told us that we didn't have to sprinkle, and then the state fire marshal said, yes, you will sprinkle, and so we did have to get a bid on that, and so far, you know, things are going along just pretty well. We're trying to get our volunteers back in. We've had a tremendous outpouring of volunteer work from the community. In fact, about everything that's been done so far has been on a volunteer basis. So, again, the Odell community has really stepped up, and I think it's going to be there's just a lot of people that are looking forward to when the family members and different things like that can come, and they won't have to try and clean out a room in the house for them to stay, and I think it'll be a really nice project for our community. So.
You might mention a few words about who Rice is. It was Dr. Rice.
Doc Rice is a longtime physician that I'm not real good on the background, but I can remember going there as a child. I was born there. There's a tremendous amount of people that were born there. Over community days, we had an open house, and the number of people coming through, everybody had a different story about something that happened to them at the Rice Hospital. So a lot of them were pretty funny, and there were a couple of the nurses that originally had worked with him there. And again, we're just glad that we could save the building. And it was either save it or tear it down, kind of like I'm sure you guys have heard that before. So we decided, there were a group of six couples that kind of got together and decided, well, why don't we decide to try and save this instead? So it's really worked out well for us.
Could you describe the number of overnight rooms plus some of the other amenities?
Okay. Pretty much we will have six individual bedrooms, and they all have their They all have their own bathrooms with them, which we thought when we were looking at the Wilbur Hotel, that was the one thing, I guess, that we thought we wanted to try and do was to make sure that, you know, every bathroom had its own, or every bedroom had its own bathroom facility. We have a conference room. We'll have like a small kitchenette area where groups that come in can, you know, prepare a little bit of food. We have a welcome room. Other than that, that's pretty much what we have.
You have somebody locally who will be managing it, basically, or how are you working that?
Well, that's a good question. For right now, you know, a lot of things like the trail center, that's done on community volunteers, and I think that's probably what we'll have to start out with. You know, if we could ever get to the point where it raises enough funds, then we might be able to, hire someone retired in the community that would come in and do part of that. But right now, I think since a lot of us volunteered to start it up, so you can kind of guess that part of that duty probably sticks with that group of people for a while. So,
well, you will have a retired Gage County supervisor who will have lots of time, and you might be able to use him on a volunteer basis, I would think.
Yeah, he's not terribly busy, I can tell you that.
I do karaoke in the basement or something.
Okay.
I could see the facility really being excellent for family reunion type things. So.
Yeah, yeah. No, and we have you know, we're hoping that, we'll just maybe do receptions. You know, a lot of times we have overflow in the community where there's two things going on and the community building is already spoken for, so there really isn't another facility. So with our little convention room and reception room and whatever, I think that will probably do us a lot of good in the community.
So, I think it's
quite
fantastic.
Frankly, with more and more social events that go on, weddings, anniversaries, whatever, and as more active that Gus and his people get with the drinking and driving, that having six lodging rooms right there in town and a very good restaurant, I can
Absolutely.
See a package weekend. Everybody stays in the community. They're safer instead of going to Omaha or Lincoln or even Beatrice. Sorry, Jim.
Well, that we've already had some ideas that could be done there.
And I see a real market for that kind of thing.
With the trail center, they might be able to put together packages for even like bringing in groups of kids, and having them stay overnight and then go through the activities at the trail center. So I think they'll get it all worked out.
I think it's fantastic. It might even tie into something with Rock Creek, come to think about it. Maybe you could do something with that.
And Marysville. We're already working with Marysville pretty closely. So
that's fantastic. Jim, good job. Good job, all of you.
Moving right along. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
And then the other check presentation, we'll have a call on Myron and Dave once again, but that's to the Friends of the Gage County Courthouse. It's a $25,000 check.
What I'm going to do, I'm going to ask Ron to represent the county board on this, if that would be all right.
You bet.
He spoke to me the other day, but Ron has been chairman of a building committee, and he's taken an inordinate amount of the heat for the whole project. And I think it'd be great if you'd get out there, Ron, and accept that check from the Friends.
You bet. And I think Janet Byers is here.
I like to spread the blame a little bit.
We will spend it wisely. I'm Janet Byers. I'm president of Friends of the Gage County Courthouse. And we certainly want to thank the Gage County Board of Supervisors for the $25,000 check approving that, the Gage County Visitors Improvement Fund for recommending us. And I will give you a quick update on where we're at. To date, we've raised $105,000. That's basically for the district and county courtrooms renovation. Our total fundraising goal is $185,000. We still have a number of grants that we're waiting to hear from to see if we've been awarded those grants. We have been accepting community funds, individual funds, and you know, we're just really pleased at where we're going. We have lots of things in store for you. We have great ideas. We've talked about doing an annual holiday open house, courthouse tours. In conjunction with Jim Spangler, working with the Department of Tourism to do a Nebraska courthouse tours, because we have a lot of really unique courthouses in the state of Nebraska. So, you know, we just have lots of different ideas. But again, I would really like to thank Dave Jones. He has been just phenomenal to work with. Anything we ask, he has the answer to, or if he doesn't have the answer to, he's going to come back pretty soon and tell us what it is. Also to Jim Spangler and, again, the Gage County Board of Supervisors for their support. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet.
And I just might remind people again that if anybody does want to write a check to the Friends of the Gage County Courthouse, they certainly are willing to accept any kind of contributions anybody would like to make. I might have mentioned that once before.
I would just like to say anybody here this morning that has not seen what's being done in the district and county courtrooms, they take the time when you're done here today to go up to what would now be the third floor and just take a look at it now, and then you'll have an opportunity here opening about a month or month and a half when everything is done to see just what has been transpired up there in those two rooms, which you'll be amazed at what's going on up there.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jim, and the Visitors Committee for that group of items. We have a timed agenda item at 9:15. It's just now a minute or so past that. That item is to accept, reject, or award a bid, and open the bids on the 2005 14x65 mobile home. That's the one that sat out here during construction that the custodian and the emergency management folks occupied during the renovation. The motion would be in order to close the bidding, receive them, open them, read them aloud, that whole thing that we usually go through. So
I would move that the bids be closed at 9:17 for the surplus building, we guess we got.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, moved by Fleece, second by Bauman. Any discussion? All right, please vote. 6-0. And we'll let the chairman there, building and grounds, keep you busy this morning, Ron. So if you'll open those and read them, we'll see what's going to happen with our trailer.
Well, at least we got interest. We've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 bids.
Huh? 4 or 5 there, yeah.
Have some stuck together? Or?
Yeah, there's just 4. I don't know.
Paper. I usually cut these pretty fast. But okay, here's one bid here for the mobile home of $6,900 from Fred Wright of Wymore, Nebraska. Bid from Jeff Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, Corey, of Beatrice, Nebraska, for $2,510. There's a bid of $3,100 from Dale
Michaelis,
Wymore, Nebraska. And the last bid John Kreuzberg Beatrice, Nebraska, a bid of $6,212.
Now, further, refer these to committee, or do we know the folks well enough? I know all four of them personally and vouch for all four of them. If that's worth my recommendations, were they then? But
what was the high?
The high was Fred Wright at $6,900.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, we could go ahead.
Any discussion? Fred's been a township officer for a long time, maintainer-operator. And as you may or may not know, I mean, he's a top bid, so I'm not telling anything out of school here, but he recently had a house fire. So this will come in pretty handy for him for at least temporary housing.
I move we accept the bid of Fred Wright in the amount of $6,900.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Bauman. And besides that, in discussion, it gets it back on the tax rolls, Fred. Way to go. Any further discussion? Please vote. Fred gets a trailer, 6-0. Thank you for bidding, all four of you. I know several of the bidders are here. Thank you very much for your interest. And who should they talk? Well, you know Dave Jones well, and Mark Mintz would be the two to get with as far as making arrangements to get it moved. And I think in the bidding document there was, what, so many days? And okay. Okay, next on the agenda, Millard Gustafson with the quarterly sheriff's report.
Why don't we go back to that presentation of the cornerstone?
Oh, where's that?
Right above the bed.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
They're right above Gustafson's over there.
Yeah.
Okay, presentation of the Cornerstone of Preservation Ward by the Gage County Heritage Preservation Group, Lorene Riedesel, representing them. So sorry, Lorene.
All right. You're learning all kinds of things. I thought I was going to get to hear what Gus is looking at.
Good morning. I'm Lorene Riedesel. I'm the secretary and the rescue committee chair for Gage County Heritage Preservation. And it's my honor this morning to present an award that has never been given to any other group until right now, and that is the Gage County Heritage Preservation Cornerstone of Preservation Award. It is given to a group for continuing excellence in preservation and restoration, and that group must have already won the annual Excellence in Preservation Award, which this courthouse did a number of years ago. In fact, it was our second award that was ever given back in the early 1990s. I want to say something about this award. You folks are the inspiration for it. It's easy enough to give an award one time to someone and then move on, and if they continue to do preservation efforts, there's always some new exciting project, and to forget the people who go on and on and on, because preservation is just that. It doesn't stop. You don't get to preserve something one day and then walk away from it and it stays preserved. You have to just go on and on working on it. And we were actually watching the effort done to try to make this building more accessible and the work that went on the east side of the building. And so, you know, the courthouse has gone on doing so many things. The county board has really kept these projects going. There needs to be some recognition for people who have won the best but go on doing excellent work. And so this award was created specifically with the courthouse in mind. And we no sooner got ready to give it than this entirely incredible project, which is going on right now, started, and we thought, oh, if we thought they were good before, it's just getting better. So I want to encourage you. I know that many of you have heard all kinds of comments. There's always someone who could do it better or differently. But, you know, I have never yet met anyone in Gage County that says, wow, I just wish they'd torn that building down and built one of those boxes that they did back in the 60s. And part of being green and taking care of things is keeping them up and doing the right thing. Landfills are overfilled with buildings that should never have been torn down. And the buildings, we all agree, they don't do it like they used to. They don't build them like they used to. So I'm here on behalf of a whole group to commend you for doing the right thing. It's costly at the time. Like I said, there's always somebody who can second-guess you, but you are a real inspiration all through Gage County. This is everyone's building. All over Gage County, people relate to this building. It's an important building. Kids often call it, when I do tours with them, their castle. And it is. It's the Gage County Castle. And Castles take work, anybody who has one will tell you, but on the same time, they are a real source of pride. And so it is my honor, as I said before, to present this award and to thank you for the work that you've done in preservation.
Thank you. Ron, would you care to receive it on behalf of the board?
Yeah.
Please. Is that right? Is everybody building and grounds chairman? That's why.
Absolutely.
I might compliment you, Maureen, on this. And when we started talking about this back in, it was about March 3rd, I think, and 2 years ago, we had our first information meeting up in the district courtroom and of going out and informing the public about what needed to be done to get the project started and the bond issue and where the funds were going to come from and things of that nature. And we had some tours at that time and some really great help from the Historical Society on sending out letters to people supporting that. And it was probably that 71 votes that we got to pass the bond issue.
We claim them. We have no qualms about that.
So it's interesting. Last week we had a tour here of the group, and we went up to the top, up in the attic, and I was surprised that it almost seemed like they were more interested in how the structure was built, which they should be, when looking at the attic and the 2x12s and all that work that's been done up there 110 years ago, basically, how that was done.
Actually closer to 120 years ago.
Yeah, how that was done at that time and how it stood all these years. It's really amazing. So glad I could be a part of it in a way. So.
Well, we're glad you are too. And Lias, again, as I said, this is the group that would say thank you and commend you. You know, we already had all the tours in the heart. People don't come to see big box stores. They really don't. They come to see history. We talked about the homestead. And this is part of maintaining some of the fabric of our community. Thank you very much.
I don't think this would be, you know, as important as Dave Jones standing there in the hallway there.
Yeah.
The door. He's been our project manager, and he deserves as much credit seeing what happened here.
Hey, right? I'm not banishing him out to the hallway. If you want to come up here and take credit, that's fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lorraine. All right, Millard Gusterson, Sheriff's Report, and then after that we'll get into the meat of the meeting where we talk about the handbook, Marlin's issue comes up, and on down the list, so that'll all be coming shortly. Millard?
Thank you and good morning. I'm going to go over the third quarter reports for the Sheriff's Office and then for the jail. You should have this in your packets already. I handed it over to the Clerk's Office, well, I think last week. For the Sheriff's Office, calls for service was 1,703, which was up a little from last quarter. We had 74 accidents. We had 75 citations, 311 warnings, 252 arrests. We served 227 legal papers. We had 80 arrest warrants. We generated a little over $3,500 in fees. Around $2,600 for mileage earned for those papers, $57 for copies, nothing collected on distress warrants, nothing for partial pay on distress warrants yet. So we had 3,530 for title inspections, a little over 52,000 miles on miles driven in patrol units, 3,954 miles in prisoner transports. We collected a little over $1,300 from grants reimbursements. We had 8 canine deployments, 1 canine drug arrest. The drug arrest resulted in marijuana. We had 5 meth labs, which is up considerably from last quarter. We had 12 drug violations, which were up from last quarter quite a bit. Reserve miles, they gave us 3,361 miles of patrol time and 502 hours. Billing checks were 951, and out of those billing checks, 12 doors were found opened. On the report for the detention center, we had 225 male bookings, which was up from last quarter, and 61 female bookings, which was up quite a bit from last quarter. We had 121 felony arrests and 309 misdemeanors, and then 73 were classified as just general miscellaneous. We had a little over $12,500 in inmate medical expenses, $360 income from outside prisoner holding, around $337.50 for income from fingerprints taken, $1,032.32 for inmate phone commissary, commission we made off of that, a commissary fund, $3,843.92, and around $706.88 spent for outside prisoner holding. Let's see, we had $7,990.96 in general care for the inmates. A little over $4,500 of that was emergency medical care that we took care of. And we had nothing for vision and dental expenses that last quarter. Of the total arrests that we had was, I think, 286 lodged. 166 came from the Sheriff's Office, and 99 from the Beatrice Police Department, 9 from the Weimar Police Department, 12 from State Patrol, and of all those arrests, 60 were alcohol-related. So, yes?
Got a comment, two questions. I watch your website pretty regular, Gus. It looks like our jail population is averaging around 20 a day.
In that area.
Now, when you see on that website that you've got one or two incarcerated somewhere else, is that generally a juvenile because we don't hold juveniles?
It could be the juvenile. They could be a problem child for us. I just don't have the facility to really maintain that. Or it could be a real medical issue in their infirmary at State Penitentiary.
Second question. I know that you always used to use the local process server. When you say you serve so many papers, does that amount to things that he isn't
cannot,
allowed to serve?
Yeah, the ones where we're serving here are ones we have to do by law. It'll be arrest warrants, protection orders, things such as that nature.
But by using him, it frees up a more expensive officer that'd be doing it.
Oh, has been a huge, huge asset to us and saved us a lot of money. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, I make note, Gus, of the latest escape attempt and the damage to the jail that was done.
Yes, we had an attempt. Well, it's been working for a few days. We've got, if you remember, we have a construction crew working on the north side of the jail putting in windows. And I think what the staff did, or the inmates did, is they timed it when they're making all their noise over there pounding and grinding. Somehow they got a bar off the cell doors. One of them tore loose and started chipping away. They got the shower stalls where they took the tunnel, and they started, the concrete's already a little weak anyway, and they started just chipping away at it. And they had about a 6-inch by 6-inch hole. They got completely through the wall, and they were to the brick that you see outside right now. And so staff heard pounding and knew it wasn't coming from the cell block they're working on from the construction crew, so went over there and brought everybody out and did a cell search, and obviously they were flushing all the remains down the shower stall. It was fine enough if they could get it down. So we're in the process of getting some repairs made. We're doing an investigation on it, and if it turns out, there'll be a few charges filed for attempted escape on that. So
those are serious charges, aren't
they? It was, and they made the hole any bigger. They were going to be getting out. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. Anything else?
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yes, motion to place his report on file.
So moved.
Okay, move by Bauman. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Byers. Discussion. Please vote. Again, 6-0. Okay, we've got several agenda items coming up here. I think it might be pertinent to Matt.
I'd move the Board of Supervisors go into a closed session to discuss with our attorney, Jerry Pigsley, litigation for the protection of the public interest.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Basically what that will mean, folks, with an aye vote, we'll go into executive session for at least a few minutes. You never know how long, unfortunately. And then we will come back and take up the agenda items. The employee's handbook will be discussed. Marlon Cleaver will be discussed. And on down the list, and the agendas are available. But that's how that will work. So don't go too far away. Further discussion? All right, please vote. Favor going in executive 6-0, and we'll clear the room. And
Marlon, is PHS going to present the ED to you, or are they going to do that?
They came
yeah.
over and give
it
to us right
okay.
now. I think they're on the agenda for next time around to make the
sure. Yeah. It's 10:03. The motion would be in order to come out of executive session and start the general session again.
So moved.
I move by Bauman. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Gronewald. Any discussion? Please vote. Again, 6-0 to end our executive session and rejoin open session. Our county attorney, our the attorney representing the county on this matter, Jerry Pigsley, has a couple comments for us.
Yes, the purpose of the closed session was to discuss with myself and advise you as the county board on litigation for the protection of the public interest, and that was the reason why the closed session was held. Coming out of closed session, I would advise the county board at this time, based on a telephone conference I had with Mr. Clyver's attorney yesterday afternoon, that you defer any action on the approval or disapproval of the termination of Mr. Clyver as Gage County Highway Superintendent. And the second item, or the first item, was approve or disapprove modifying policies in the Gage County Employee Handbook, and then the other item was approve or disapprove the termination of Mr. Clyver as Gage County Highway Superintendent.
So those two items you're recommending no action on today, pending conversations with you and Marlin's attorneys.
Yes.
At the layman's interpretation.
That's it.
All right. Is there any board member who would have any other idea or want to bring either motion forward? Okay, hearing none, that action, those two items are deleted, but passed over on the agenda. Next item is approve or disapprove appointment of Galen Engel, Gage County Highway Superintendent, as interim Gage County Highway Superintendent.
So moved.
Okay, moved by Bauman. Is there a second?
Yes.
Second by Barnard. Any discussion?
Got it. These are, okay, nothing.
Oop, we're all right, aren't we?
All right, yeah.
And we need an interim. All right, please vote. My condolences, Galen. You're it again. All right, next item, approve or disapprove. And catch me if I miss some here. Sometimes I see double. Approve or disapprove resolutions appointing Galen Engel as responsible charge on federal aid projects. And there was there resolutions, I think. Actually, there are four of those projects pending. The resolution numbers will be 10-, and I guess we better do these separately, 10-40. I think that's enough because it's all in writing here. I don't know where a county attorney is here. Yeah. Is there a reason we can't do them all at once?
Well, I think we ought to do them separately. It don't take that long to do that. We all have them and have copies of it.
Okay. Okay, first one is Resolution 10-40, and I wish I could find the quick hits. I'll read the SDP number here.
Yeah.
Catching me a little unprepared. It's NDOR project number STPEVR3265(4), parentheses, and it is in writing and will be in the public documents. Is there a motion? Bauman?
Second.
That's moved. Flea seconded. Discussion. Please vote. 6-0 in favor. Resolution 10-41, which would appoint Galen as RC of STPE Project 3220, parentheses 6. I see that. That is Beatrice Worth. Motion.
So moved.
Bauman. Second by Gronewald. Discussion. Please vote. Favor 6-0. Resolution 10-42, having to do with project BRS 3265, parentheses 5. That's the NY Moore Bridge.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman. Second by?
Second.
Please. Discussion. Please vote. And finally, Resolution 10-43. And this is BR 3285, parentheses 5, the Filling North Project. Moved by Bauman, second by Gronewald. Discussion. Please vote. 6-0. Okay, next item is approve or disapprove employees to cash out up to 40 hours of vacation to be paid out on December 31st. And there is some sort of explanation to this.
Yeah,
Matt, if you'd want to get.
This
that.
Was a request that came from the consultation and some conversations with employees at the highway department. Went down there to try and explain how we're going to change the payroll process to a more appropriate, commonly accepted practice as opposed to paying people ahead. We pay them in the rears. And I know that there's was a concern about that last third paycheck in December being short, if you will. They're still going to get paid for the hours that they've worked appropriately, but there was a suggestion to allow the employees to cash up to 40 hours of vacation if they have it. And I guess where I'm coming from, I don't have a problem with that because I don't think you offer a benefit to an employee that you're not willing to step up and allow them to use. And so there's been an accumulation. If they've got it, that's a third paycheck. If they want to make it a little bit bigger for them, those dollars are in the budget as part of their wage. I don't have a problem with that. So that's the explanation. To allow
Mr. Chairman?
Is Gary?
What is our policy for our employees on accumulation of overtime, et cetera, and all that?
It's in the employee handbook. Based on years of service, they can accumulate, for the first year, you can accumulate 10 days. 6 to 12 years, you accumulate 15 days. And 13 plus years, you accumulate 20 days over the calendar year. And so
it's the top end of it. Nobody's going to accumulate any more than that.
That's regular time. Well, it's not overtime, though.
Not overtime.
I wouldn't think that'd be overtime.
No, these are vacation hours.
Yeah, so vacation hours.
If they were supposed to, you know, we like to have people manage their vacation so they get a break from work and they've accumulated those hours, and if they end up at the end of the year, it's not something we normally do, but because we're changing the payroll process, I think we need to be sensitive to the employees, and if they have that up there, they should be able to use that. You know, in the private sector where I work, you earn the vacation, it's your vacation. You cash it out. It's your benefit. So I don't want to hold that back on people. I thought it was a good suggestion, and I don't see how it's going to hurt us financially. But I got to remember and say that these are our employees. There's other elected officials. They can decide what they want to do. This is would be the employees that are underneath the county board, because we can't make determination for other elected officials. And so I guess I don't have a problem with that, allowing our employees, if they've got it and they want to use it. If they've taken vacation throughout the year and they don't have it built up, well, good for you. You got some time off. So,
Matt, I was kind of preoccupied. Did you explain why the paycheck cycle had gotten changed in the first place to folks that are here today?
Okay, well, 2 weeks ago I explained it, but I'll do it again. And
it's a better crowd today.
Yeah. Well, here's been the issue with the payroll cycle. Our employees currently, they'll get a paycheck tomorrow. The hours for that paycheck will include this week as well as last week. That payroll starts and is turned in Thursday and or Friday of last week, which reflect hours that have yet to be worked for this week. That process is started in the clerk's office with Barb Hendricks. She does the payroll. It's turned in. Checks are started to be processed on Tuesday. The board approves this today, and people will get their paycheck midnight Thursday. So the technical thing is we're paying people, and we've started the process before the hours have been worked. And that's not – I'm not sure that we would ever pay for anything before it's done. Any work that's done, we get claims submitted afterwards. But, again
– And while this is common practice by other counties, as I understand, our auditor suggested to do it, and that's becoming the way to do it in other counties.
There's a few other counties that are continuing to do this, and it's really not the correct way to do that. The rest of the world, you work 2 weeks, you're turning your payroll on Monday, you get paid on that Friday for the previous 2 weeks. The other bad thing about the way we do it now is, God forbid, we had 10 inches of snow. Our folks in the highway department work overtime on Saturday. Well, their payroll has already been turned in the previous Thursday and Friday, so they have to turn in a separate claim, and then they'll get paid 2 or 3 weeks later for that. That's how that overtime would work if it doesn't get in. And so this way, when you turn that in, they'll get that overtime in that check. So it benefits the employee, and I guess I want to stress, it's nothing the employees have done wrong. It's a system that county government has had set up for some time, so we're changing it. And we specifically picked a month that had three pay periods in that so that when there are the deductions out of the first two paychecks, it wouldn't hit people too hard. But we want to be sensitive. It's holiday time, but when is there ever a good time to mess with somebody's money? There never is. So you're never going to be popular. But I think if we get this going in the right direction, it'll be a positive move forward. So it's the way most of the rest of the world gets paid. It's a common accepted practice. It's been a request from our auditor for some time to do this, and I think the request to allow someone to use 40 hours of vacation, if they've got it, it's theirs. Let them cash it out. So I'm going to vote for it. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't see how Well, someone might turn around and make it negative, but it's their money, and they've earned it. Let them have it. So,
any other comments?
I'd make a motion to approve.
A motion by Bauman to approve the one-time cash out of up to 40 hours of accumulated vacation pay.
Second it.
And second by police. I think the reasoning was presented. Need us further discussion? All right, please vote. Favor 6-0. All right, that gets us down to basically committee reports. Do we have any of those?
Yeah, I would on building and grounds. So we met Monday at 10 o'clock. Just some information to pass on to you. We did meet with MIPS, which is our communications consultant. Is that what you call them? Or what do you call them?
I'm going to interrupt you on. For a more leave, I would like to mention, and I guess Mr. Pigsley is gone, but apparently Marlin's attorney, did he say last night, had contacted. So the hearing tomorrow may or may not happen. So if some of you are interested in that, scheduled 1:30.
He's asked for a continuance, so no, it won't happen.
Grievance hearing is, although we haven't talked to Willett. I mean, Willett's one running it, but I believe the... I'm not talking out of school here, hopefully, but Marlin's attorney asked for a continuance. Our attorney suggested as well, so it's doubtful that that hearing will happen tomorrow, but just contact your sources. So, all right, excuse me, but I thought before any more left, that would be good information.
But anyway, we had some communications issues that we had to take care of. That basically included some revisions in the data center down on what we call first floor. And I think those items have been taken care of, thank goodness. So we can get rid of some of the hanging wire in the clerk's office that they haven't been able to use for Christmas decorations. I suggested they hang some bulbs.
Tinsel on.
We got a spider on it.
Yeah, you got a spider, but that's all right.
It's Halloween. Halloween's over.
Yeah. Time to put some Christmas bulbs on it. And also, if you've been looking around the courthouse, you'll notice the south window project dirt has been put back in. The drains were installed, so everything is pretty well done on that. They are now putting in the windows. And the registered deeds people will be relocating a couple days into EOC. So while the windows are being replaced, it might get a little breezy in there for a couple of days while that's taking place. That involves in their room 2, 4, 5 windows in the registered deeds office. So that's the only one affected as far as offices are concerned on the first floor with the south window project. The northwest window project, as you guys have been given the go-ahead to do that, we also will be putting in drains in that, just like we did on the north-southwest project, or southeast project with the windows, except they won't have such a wide area for putting in the drains. We will have to relocate a couple of lines so before heat starts. Putting in those drains, so we got a communication lines going over to the sheriff's office. We want to make sure those aren't interrupted while that's being put in. In the county courtroom, the carpet will be installed Friday. For those of you that have taken a look at the district courtroom, the wood floor has been installed in the district courtrooms and all the offices up there. Basically, that's all the notes I had. Things are moving forward. We already took up the boiler in the old part of the sheriff's office. That's been taken care of. They've had a hot water heater had to be replaced, another $550. Things keep mounting up. We're going to be using all your money, I think, before we're done.
You leave my money alone. It's for my big projects.
So that's all I had.
Okay, any other committees? Matt?
Yes, committee, I know Ron and I have visited for some time, and as again, to sister off what you've said, we're trying to winding down our expenses for the courthouse, and Ron's working kind of on a what I call a punch list, kind of our finance punch list, because how we're getting down there. So I won't hang out and ask for the number, because I know he's working on it right now, unless you've got a...
That'll be one of my final actions to give to Matt by next meeting.
will be, of all the contracts that we have pending out there, what do we have left to pay on those? That includes the roof, that includes Cheevers with the courthouse, that includes communications, the whole ball of wax, as to just what do we still owe, and that money will come from inheritance, and then also what commitments we've made as far as the county courtrooms are concerned in regards to stenciling, the whole ball of wax, the sound systems, all this stuff is still needs to be done and paid for. So we should have a pretty good feel, you know, by that. So
I don't think I'm probably speaking for too many people, but I would figure most would agree is that the general consensus is we're probably reaching a point where we're going to have to stop for now, get what we can done now, and some of the things that we have a potential to come back and do later that aren't going to be too prohibitive of service or how we need to function here, we'll try and do those.
I hate to use the word stop.
Well, I'd
rather say there might be some projects we might want to delay.
Yeah,
you know,
delay. We'll use delay.
Based upon availability of funds and things of this nature that we've been looking at.
I think it's important to know that there, you know, as we get criticized from time to time over use of inheritance, I think that we recognize there's a point where we have to manage that budget too, and we're looking to be efficient with those dollars. And I think that we're in somewhat of a soft agreement that there may be some delays needed in order for us to stay where we need to be. But remember, no one's done anything to this building for 40 some years. Major anyway, and so we're I'm just saying at some point some board had to step up and take it on the chin, and you know I think we're doing something that's good because it's an infrastructure issue, no different than the roads, no different than Gus's needs.
Right.
We get information that we're going to get a pretty nice contribution our inheritance fund if we have.
I was going to give you. Our balance on November 30th, inheritance, $880,792. We received pretty much from the last report an amount of $425,705. So we got a real shot in the arm in that fund. But that doesn't mean it's still open for grab bags or Christmas tree fund. It's a... At least not in the next 2 weeks, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and the other cash flow issue, we know rock and gravel has been spent down significantly. There are FEMA funds floating around, and during Road and Bridge Monday, we're trying to track down that process because we do know that the townships and the county entered some agreements and we're trying to sort that out, what's been paid, not paid. But there's over $400,000 of that FEMA stuff kind of in the works.
Well, we've already spent the money. We're just getting our money back.
Yeah, but it still is here. I mean, that's what I've heard. But at least it will be available, just like inheritance money. That's been spent, too, but luckily more comes in. So,
If I would have had some hindsight on this, I would have said before we took money out of inheritance fund for the emergency with the highway department, I would have liked to have had a motion that said any FEMA money we would have gotten from that would have been transferred over to the inheritance fund because that's where it came from. But I know some counties have done that with some of the stuff. They've taken money out of it. They said, okay, the next time we have some money coming in,
they're going to pay that fund back.
Isn't there a FEMA line?
I've been in discussions with Don. We probably will look at moving the FEMA line in the future to part of the Emergency Road and Bridge Fund so it's used for those projects but is out of general operations of that department, so it's used. So that might be a budget. That'll be a budget issue.
And then if you borrow out of some other fund, it should go back to the original fund from whence it came. So that's some fun for the new guys to play with next year. Any other committee reports? I would just like to comment. I've been here a lot of years. This is second to my last meeting. I didn't think I'd be chairing it, but it was interesting as always. But I would like to commend the members who are lame ducks that you keep coming to the meetings. Over the years, I've seen a lot of members who either were leaving or didn't get reelected that just failed to show up for the last two or three months. And I think our group's done pretty well. Commend you all. With that, any other business? Thank you very much. Meeting adjourned. Hey, board members, we need to sign all these resolutions. I thought if you could all come.